Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, here at PBS Radio. Unfortunately, we had a technical problem with Brandi Casto, who was supposed to visit us this evening, actually, from Generation Truth and Team Rat, Reality and Truth. So I'll be kind of just recapping on some of the things that we've talked about in the past, some of the people that we'll be talking about here in the future that we've got scheduled, as well as a couple of things that, we haven't talked about here in a little while. Maybe even pull out a couple of letters from the fans that have written me here from time to time, get you a couple of stories. So let's just get running, and who knows, if we get a hold of Brandi here a little later, we'll bring her on. Let's just start with where we've been and what we've done in the past new year. Welcome to the new year, everybody here. It's going to be a wonderful year for Paranormal Truth and Reality. I've got some exciting news to tell you, including being live at several locations as we go throughout this year, including tagging along with Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown. We're actually going to be going to Waverly Place and doing a show with them, or actually working with them a little bit. I don't know what's going to be there and what you're going to see from me and what you're not going to see from me, but we're looking to do a live broadcast while we're up there as well, just to kind of say, hey, this is what we did and this is who was on the show. So make sure you stay tuned there. In other news, Mount Hope Paranormal, a guest that went on with us a little while back, is going to be joining me at the Vasilla House as well this year. Again, I'm going to try to do a live broadcast while I'm out there so that everybody can actually talk to Mount Hope once again after we go to the Vasilla House, and we'll talk about our journeys out there. So stay tuned as we do that, because it's going to be an amazing time. I've got a couple of other locations we're going to be popping into in the next year too, with some fairly well-known people. And the following year, which I'll reintroduce a little bit later to you, but it's going to be a wonderful time. What have we done through 2017 before we hit 2018? Well, we started our journey with Paranormal Truth and Reality on another radio show, but wanted to change that concept and joined BBS. This is our first official year through BBS Radio, one of the best radio stations, I can honestly tell you, in digital radio. So make sure, if you're looking for a place to go, talk to Donald, because he's a great guy. We visited very, very wonderful people throughout the year, from Lance Eberhardt, who told a wonderful story, to Keith, who also told a wonderful story. Both have been on television, of course, and wanted to share their show here on Paranormal Truth and Reality, to some of the more common people throughout the paranormal, from Jay Pierce to, several people. A couple of exciting mediums like Susan Carter and Peter Sacco joined us. Great people. Make sure that you tune into their show as well. And we got some interesting people, from Rick Hale to Gavin Kelly and Paula Purcell from Paranormal Journeys. Joe Vitale, which actually has joined them now, and he's a wonderful photography expert, actually, in the paranormal. So we took a wonderful journey, and we're about to restart that journey once again with the mind that we need to not only talk to real investigators and real people with real experiences, but of course get some of the celebrities in as well. So let's talk about a few people that we're going to have on in the next couple of weeks, just so everybody is quite aware. I've got an incredible lineup coming up. One of the basic people that we're going to be talking to next week, he's a wonderful gentleman just starting out on his journey. He's got a great documentary that's going to be going out on YouTube for sale, and hopefully he's going to get it on a couple of Streamline channels. His name is Matt Benton. Matt is doing Man versus Paranormal. He has a unique look at several places where he's actually going to be filming by himself, kind of like a Survivor Man situation, confronting some of the most famous areas throughout paranormal history to see if he can get something on his own. Excuse me. On the 26th, I actually have Aaron Potter on the line. Aaron Potter is an investigator that's been around for quite a long time, but he's getting his name out there quite frequently now. He has his own YouTube channel and his own paranormal company called KPRS Investigations. He's going to be a wonderful person to talk to. As we go into February, I've got a few guests that are going to be very amazing for you. So I want you to tune in to that, because some of these people are fairly well known, and one of them, if everything works out right, is actually starting on a new journey within the paranormal after discussing several things on being on another show that was on Discovery Network. He's a great gentleman. I have a very well-known psychic medium that's going to be popping in with us again. She's a delightful lady. She's going to talk about her experiences and what she's planning to do this new year. We have a film person, a man that mans the cameras, actually, for a fairly well-known show that's going to be coming on. He interned last year and the year before with a gentleman that all of you will know. We'll wait until he actually mentions that because I don't have permission from the production agency to mention the name yet. But he has been on very well-known television shows and so forth. And rather than bring him on, we wanted to do a view from the people behind the scenes. So he very politely and kindly, after a couple of conversations on a sat phone, decided to say, hey, Chris, I'll tell you what I'll do. I have an intern that's been with me for a couple of years. He's been doing a lot of my camera work. He's a great guy. I'm going to have him come on the show, and he can tell you how we do things and his experiences from behind the camera, which I think is a delightful thing to do because I know everybody out there actually watches a lot of these TV shows. But have you ever considered the people that are filming all the stars that are out there? I know I haven't. And they go through a lot of things, from trucking through the muck to barely being seen to making sure they get a lot of those shots that we enjoy when we're watching on television. So make sure you tune in there. I've got a couple of wonderful authors about to come on to the show as well. They're going to be talking about anything from personal paranormal experiences to more delightful experiences that are around there. Just to kind of, you know, fill you in on a few of those. If everything works out right, I have a delightful delightful lady that wrote a wonderful book named Beatrice Warner. She went through a series of paranormal events herself, and she wrote a book to discuss that. Denver Michaels is a crypto enthusiast. He's written several extraordinary books, actually, in cryptozoology. He's going to be joining us to talk about those books and to talk about his journeys in the future, which is going to be an amazing situation. If everything works out right, I am very proud to announce, of course, I have to work with his schedule. I know he's a very busy man, that the star of Ghost Chasers, he's done former appearances on Ghost Hunters International several years in a row, Chris Howley will be joining us. Chris is a wonderful guy. He's been doing his new show, Ghost Chasers, for several years now. So make sure you tune in for that because it's a very interesting thing. And on a lighter note, there's a paranormal magazine out there called Haunted Magazine, written by Paul Stevens and several other people. Paul, if everything works out right in his schedule within 2018, will be actually available and joining us to discuss a little bit more about this and the situations involved. So it's going to be a wonderful year. On top of that, we're actually got some fairly famous paranormal investigators that have agreed to come on to the show once we work out their schedules. These are a few people that you have seen on television. They're very delightful people, and they're volunteering their time, which I think is wonderful and excellent. Let's get into some of the more interesting things in the paranormal. What's been going on? Who have we been talking to? Where has everything been running? Well, these are excellent questions, obviously. I'm going to start on a lighter note. I had the wonderful privilege of talking to many, many people that wanted to discuss some of the unique theories that are out there. I know I've talked about it a couple of times, but quantum physics. I have a quantum physics professor that's going to be joining me. Robert is actually a very wonderful individual, and he's got a unique theory that he has now published a paper on. I will put it up on my website. I'll also put it up on Facebook, and I'm going to be glad to put it up in RTP here shortly about his theory on quantum physics and quantum relativity, as well as quantum slip theory, and how this applies to the paranormal. Robert's insights into the paranormal are very interesting. He spent the time to hang out with paranormal investigators and to go out on some of the ghost tours and to take a look at things to see if he would be able to understand any of the ability that average people are going out and doing today. There's a couple of things he found out, and you're going to laugh about this. A lot of the investigators tuning in tonight, you're going to giggle about it too. He found out that a lot of the equipment that we're using is total and absolutely absurd nonsense, but he also did find out when you apply certain scientific and more advanced testing equipment that cost a lot of money, as he did on several of these investigations, he came up with some unique things along with personal experiences. Now, as he looked at his theories, he determined that it is a possibility two things are going on. The first thing is when you start looking into quantum physics, a lot of these different streams that move left and right, right and left, and work at the same time variable we do, when you do the math, have these little injunction points where they actually collide for brief periods in time. Now, these collisions in the scientific world have actually been found from time to time and even utilized in one scientific method through Michigan University so that they could tap in and prove that dark matter actually existed. In fact, they did prove that dark matter actually existed, and dark matter is used in small amounts now through the scientific table, but it's unstable, so it dissipates in a very quick time so that everybody knows. His theory is that if these things are colliding on a regular basis, then there is a possibility that some things they're leaving behind and the actual energies involved in the situation are resulting in your quantum effect. This quantum effect in return is resulting in some of what we're interacting with, from what we call residual effect or recorded effect, all the way to seeing things that sometimes aren't quite there. So think about that a little bit, because when Robert comes on, it's going to be very interesting. And I want you guys to actually interact with that, by the way. I want you guys to jump in, talk repetitively about it, ask questions. We are talking about a physical quantum physicist here that is taking time out of his university on a schedule to discuss these situations. So it's going to be an amazing show. excuse me. I have a bit of a cough tonight, so if I keep running a little bit, let's talk about what
your guest is with us.
Oh, beautiful. It looks like Brandy has came in, so we're going to plug her in now. She's a little late. It's probably the weather. I apologize here in Ohio, guys, but we had a heck of an ice storm coming in, so let's bring her in right now.
Hello.
There we go. Welcome to the show, Brandy. This is Brandy Casto. This is Paranormal Truth and Reality. I apologize for the delay, guys, but obviously we have a little bit of a weather issue. How are we doing, Brandy?
Not so much.
Yeah, I know it's a little bit of a rough weather out there, but you know, we'll work with what we got here. So, so let's just kind of jump in here, since I've been telling people a little bit about some of the future guests until we got a hold of you. So let's just start by what got you into the paranormal and what brought you here today.
Well, here today because we're on a team called Rat. What brought me into the paranormal? You guys have to apologize. We got some kids in the background. You hear them. gotta love them. The paranormal, honestly, it's ever since I was little. Random things happened that I could not explain. And when I started to try to make them make sense, they just didn't. I don't know. It's just a little bit of everything, honestly. I was 8 the first time I had any type of a experience. I was visiting a family member at the hospital. It's crazy stuff.
Now, when you were visiting a family member at the hospital, did you have an experience with what could have been somebody else that just passed at the hospital? Hospitals are a unique thing, actually. A little bit of background, listeners. Everybody I speak to tell me that they have worked in a hospital or a medical environment somewhere along the line that they see some sort of ghost.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, the first time, like I said, I was 8, 9. I went to see my aunt. She was on life support. She'd had a stroke. And the family was honestly talking about, you know, maybe it was time to let her go. Went in to see her with mom. And being an 8-year-old, you can imagine how that was. I pretty much climbed up her back because I didn't know what I was seeing. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Well, you know, a lot of people look at death as a negative thing, but the reality of things is a lot of times, even though you hate to see your loved one go away, it can be a positive result. I know when my father passed, he went through an incredible struggle. He passed at home. He was very peaceful at the time. And to be honest with you, it was a very calming effect. So,
oh, absolutely. It's like slipping into a sleep. You know, there's nothing more peaceful than that, honestly.
Yep, absolutely. So you're planning on doing a lot of things. You're new to investigation. I know you just got one of your first investigations out of the way recently. Listeners, just so everybody knows, Brandy is a part of Reality and Truth, which is Team Rat. Team Rat is a part of a documentary that's going to be produced here in the next 4 years called Generation Truth. It's a behind-the-scenes situation that follows the investigators from the beginning all the way to the end. They're going to advance all the way through this process from learning everything in the paranormal to actually getting a chance to be taught by a lot of people that you're going to know and you're going to see, actually. Most of these people are going to be famous people and semi-famous people that are around the paranormal community. So let's talk about that a little bit. What made you decide to just jump into paranormal investigation?
Oh, gosh. What made me – hold on, I have to step outside. Unfortunately, I live on a mountain, so when I try to talk, things are kind of lagged. What made me jump in? I don't know. I'm kind of that type of person. I'm a sink or swim. I'm adventure chaser, and I love the history piece. Honestly, the history is one of the biggest things to me that draws me towards. And it's not just the history of the town or the local. It's the person. You know, why are they here? What are they here for? What is their history? What is their story? I would have to say it's a little bit of everything, you know?
Well, history is an amazing situation anyway. And then when you get into the paranormal, even when it doesn't relate to an investigation, it's still amazing to know that you're sitting in a place that you can read the history on, and then you link it to something that you never even thought possible. And then you start digging into that history.
Right, absolutely. And it's like this big chain of just, it's just amazing. There's no other way to describe it. And, you know, like I said, and like you said, me being brand new into everything, obviously I'm learning. I am so green, it's not even funny. But I really think that, you know, there's a reason for everything that's happened. There's a reason for, you know, the things that I've seen, the things that I've experienced. For sure.
Now, I know we've had this discussion before, but the listeners don't know this, so let's just kind of do a backtrace a little bit. We've talked several times about how throughout your life, from very young on, you've had experiences. So let's talk about that from that perspective. A lot of people talk about having experiences, but it's kind of hard to explain. So from your standpoint, being new, not having any guidance or any real person to stand around and tell you, hey, look, this is what's going on. How did you feel about that, and how did you realize, okay, there's something a little bit more going on here than just imagination?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? A lot of people, and myself personally, definitely can speak for myself. There was a struggle. There was a point in time where I was like, no, you know, my mind's playing tricks on me, you know, or there's kind of like a denial stage. And I think anybody, you know, goes through that. I would assume anyways. I know I did. I went to my parents and I was like, you know, did anybody else see what I seen? And they're like, well, no, honey. And I'm like, was it possible that only one person could have seen something? And I was like, okay, well, I'm losing my mind, you know. And there's other things that have happened. You know, there was when I was younger, I felt, you know, that it was maybe some type of a demon that had kind of pinned me down with red eyes. And I had went to a family member and told them, and they're like, oh my goodness, no, we've seen that here before. And, you know, I mean, but it was a struggle and a half. It really was. And it's something that everybody needs to know. They're not alone. There's always somebody else out there that has been through that, that has faced that struggle. And it's a lot more common than people think, you know, and I found that comforting.
Yeah, I think it is. It's just in the time that I grew up in, you didn't talk about these things. But with the change in media, the acceptance in the television shows and so forth, it's becoming easier for people to come out and say, oh, yeah, me too.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, even going into it, joining the team, I was kind of like, oh, these people are going to think I'm crazy, you know. And knowing what we're, you know, what our ultimate goal is here, I'm like, you know, I was so naive. I was like, I really don't want to tell my stories because I don't want to think I'm nuts, you know. But, and then when I started saying things, everybody's like, no, you know, you need to channel that. You know, you definitely have something there. It's actually a gift. It's not something that, you know, you should be afraid of or, you know, be upset about.
Yeah, we all go through those situations. I know with my personal experiences, I went through a lot of situations, and I won't get much into it on the radio show because it's all about the guest, but I saw a psychiatrist at one point. I was debating on whether I was sane or not. There was you go through all kinds of different questions, and when you finally get out into the community, you start to realize that, this is not proven percentage rate, listener, so that you know, but it's a guesstimate from just off of the top of my head. About 80% of the United States to 90% when you start getting overseas have had some form of a paranormal experience. They just don't want to talk about it because when you talk about it, you feel that somebody's going to look at you like you're nuts. But I have learned the more I share, the more amazement gets out there. You still get the one or two people that look at you and go, you're what? But get a lot. You know, you get a lot more that go, cool, you're a paranormal investigator.
Oh, yeah, yep. And then, well, what made you decide? Or, you know, what's the craziest thing you've seen? And I'm like, I stood in a room and I've talked to myself. And then later on, you know, had a tape played back to me. It turns out I wasn't talking to myself. You know, there was something else there. You could feel it, but you didn't hear it.
No, EVP is a wonderful thing. EVP is a wonderful thing. I absolutely love the science involved in it. But some people still doubt it, I know. But it's just fun. Let's jump into your – since you're a rookie – let's jump into your first investigation. Let's talk about this a little bit. Now, all of us as investigators, listeners, so that you know, started off as a rookie somewhere along the line. As we get older, sometimes we forget about that. it's fascinating working with you and the crew because before I worked with you guys, I got so used to being where I am now that I forgot – what it felt like to be you.
Right. Now you're remembering where you came from, you know, the steps you took.
Yep, the steps I took, the things that I didn't know at the time. So you come in and you go, hey, wow, this is the way it's going to go. The eagerness involved in it, and I love eagerness, by the way. You guys are wonderful with your eagerness. You jump out all the time and you just get things done. I don't have to guide you there, even though I've done a lot of it before, and I've done a lot of it now. It's amazing watching you guys come up to conclusions that I've already found in some cases, but haven't shared with the team because I want to see how well you're growing, and you're doing an amazing job with that. But let's again go into this first investigation, listeners, so that you know, they did the first investigation totally on their own. We gave them a little bit of guidance on what was supposed to be done, and then they just jumped straight into it. Which is what most of us do anyway, because we don't have a rule book, we don't have people teaching us and so forth. So let's start there and talk about your experience and what you did and how you got guided along by the other newbies out there and what you thought was going to happen as opposed to what happened.
Honestly, walking into it, completely nervous. So nervous. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say, you know, because it's never been something before that I've approached with that, okay, I'm going to face this. I want to see what's there. Before, it's just kind of like, hey, look at me. You need to pay attention. Or it was scared the bejeebies out of me. You know, but going into the investigation with Joel, Sheila, Jill, it was insane. It was unreal. Things that I couldn't explain, they did happen. I've unlocked this door 1,000 times, you know, just to walk in and out of it. And I couldn't. I mean, doors wouldn't open because it was like, I mean, the house just knew. It knew that we were there. We wanted to know what was up. And the questions, you know, setting in the basement, you know, the team, everybody did great. And it was wonderful being live because we got that throwback from, you know, those of you who have done this for so long that you were able to guide us, you know, positioning cameras, questions to ask, the things that, you know, we've seen, the things that we saw. I mean, ultimately, everything went great. It really went great. And I was very comfortable. You know, I thought that I would be like, oh, I'd be extremely uncomfortable, you know, because this is, like you said, the first time that the four of us had actually done this together as a team. You know, for me, I'd never done it before. You know, I can't speak for the other team members, but I mean, I absolutely enjoyed it, you know, and to know that, you know, a week later we sat down and we actually had something that approached us was just amazing. And everybody, you know, they worked wonderful. I know Joel did so much work, and just, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling.
Joel Myers, everybody, so that you know, when he'll be joining us eventually on the show so that we can discuss his perspectives, is the team leader. And then Brandy, Sheila, and Jill are a part of this team. And they're going in with this new perspective and no idealism, as you're noticing, on how to approach things outside of what they've seen on television and what they've been told.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, and that's one of the other things, because I'm over here like, and you do all this research and you watch the videos online and on TV and the shows, and it's completely different. It is. It's to do and find the realness of it. It's not the, pardon my language, but the crap you see on TV. It's really not. It's amazing. It's mind blowing. You said it was just surreal.
The thing, listeners, that you have to understand is television is there for entertainment. And a lot of what you find out when you actually go out on these investigations is it takes a lot of work, a lot of silence, a lot of dead air, and sitting around just waiting. And then you got the after effect. The after effect is, after you do this for two or three hours literally gets you thousands of hours to review.
Yeah, well, it was over a week that, you know, we went back over everything. And like I said, Joel, he did so much of it himself. And, you know, he'd shoot at us, you know, guys, you know, this is kind of what I found. Tell me what you think, you know. And his creativity in that piece, he never fed into what he thought he found. He shared with us individually, and we were able to say, okay, well, this is what I think. Or, you know, Sheila would say, well, this is kind of what I think. Or Joe would be like, you know, this is what I think. This is my opinion. And I just, it's an amazing team.
Now, as you were out there, you had some unique occurrences. You did some of the basics, which is basic EVP questions and so forth. You learned, obviously, that while you're doing these questions, if you repeat these questions over and over and over again, then you just kind of go, what do I say next?
Oh, yes. That definitely happened. There was moments where you'd ask the same questions, and it's like, okay, well, what do I say next? So then it was, and I can honestly say, I think Sheila and Joel did the best at it, but, you know, they reached in there and they, like, history, you know, what happened here? Did your family, you know, were they here? Do they know what happened to you? You know, is there somebody that I could help you reach? And yeah, definitely got to go outside those basic questions.
Yeah, a lot of times, listeners, so that you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with EVP, I know when you see it on television, you hear the basics, which is, are you here? Did you die here? Do you have something you want to tell me? Is there a reason you're here? Things along those lines. When you start to advance in paranormal investigation, what you actually learn is it's better to just talk. If you know a little bit of history, that's great. Go into that history. If you know somebody passed on there, then talk to them like a human being. Start to speak to them, ask them specific questions, pause for 30 seconds, see if it comes back, and continue that conversation. Now, when you're learning, you don't know any of this.
No, you don't.
So a lot of times coming in, it becomes exciting, but then you wonder what's going on. Now, as you learned, Brandy, and we'll discuss this a little bit from your point of view, once you sat up in a specific room, and everybody, so that you're aware, now that we've reviewed all this information, I'm going to put this on several of my groups, Real Time Paranormal. There is a page called RAT, Reality and Truth, that we're going to post a lot of this stuff if it hasn't already been posted. It'll also be posted on a Facebook page called Generation Truth as a first run from a rookie team, so that you can see some of these reactions as they were live while Rob Price, Jay Pierce, and myself were coaching them through. So I encourage you to take a look at it. Keep in mind, these are rookies, so professional investigators, when you're looking at this, sometimes you're going to go, oh, do this, oh, do that. But that was the idealism.
Yeah, be nice to us, guys. Be nice to us.
But it will be very unique. Let's get back into a situation when you were talking by yourself in a room. Now, and the playback on the EVP as of yet, we didn't get reactions there, but we did seem to see something that was unique over the phone, and there were a lot of things that you experienced while you were there. So let's talk about your personal experience when you came up there, how you felt, how the room felt, and what you saw.
Oh. And kind of, you know, the team had met beforehand, and we kind of got an idea of how and what we wanted to approach it. The rooms, kind of, you know, I gave everybody like a little verbal of a layout. Obviously, they had never been there before. They had never seen the house, nothing. Going in, the adrenaline rush was insane. So much adrenaline. It was like, oh, and every sound was a jump. And then, you know, after you adjust and you find, okay, you find that level balance of adrenaline and, okay, you know, let's really get into this. You start asking your questions. And we went into a room. We put the laser grid up, just kind of got comfortable and started asking questions. There was sounds. You know, we'd ask for the sounds if, you know, somebody was there, if they could repeat the sounds, you know, like a knock on a pipe or blend the wood or the wall. And I mean, it's just an old house, so of course it makes all kinds of noise. And
well, let's talk about the history of your home a little bit. I know that her home, everybody, so that you're aware, is in Galleon, Ohio. It has a little bit of history to it, so let's let the listeners know a little bit about the history of your home so that they can get an aspect for what might be in the home.
Oh, absolutely. So the house, when we had bought it, was a crazy random find, and I was drawn to it instantly. I don't know why or what, and honestly, my husband was like, you're insane. I do not know why you want this crappy house. You're crazy. I'm like, I don't know. I love the house. I want to restore it. I fell in love with it. Drawn. We closed on the house on Friday the 13th, which was insane because we weren't supposed to close till like the 27th. So, I mean, just a series of events and the things that took place up into that, just gets that vibe. I don't know. You decide, listeners. I'm sold on, you know, I kind of just felt it. The day we closed on the house, the realtor, she drove from Port Clinton and met us down here. We did a final walkthrough to make sure, you know, you're sure, you know, the standard typical things. Coming up from the basement, I felt something grab my leg on the steps. I know it sounds crazy, but I did. And I jumped and I turned around. I was like, I honestly thought that the realtor was trying to grab my leg. I don't know. She was really sweet, and bless her heart if she's listening. I'm sorry. And I kind of got rude. I was like, what are you doing? And it's like, she wasn't even close enough to have done anything in the first place. But like I said, we closed on Friday the 13th. Come to find out, after we bought the place, the neighbor come over and he's like, hey, you know, my great grandma owned this house. I don't know if you know this or not. And, you know, started telling us a little bit of history. His name was Tim. And he was telling us that there was a lady who actually had hung herself in the stairway. It could have been myth. You know, you never know. You always got to kind of take things with a grain of salt. Now, at that point, I was like, okay, a little creepy. But the more we looked into it and the more work we started doing, we got down into the basement, working on pipes, started crawling around, getting into crawl space. Then we found a dummy wall. So the dummy wall that we had found when we started clearing things away was actually a sealed off entrance, which they said was connected to a part of the Underground Railroad. So now, you know, I'm like, okay, I am so intrigued. So the first thing, you know, you start doing is you start beating the path, trying to find a paper trail, a date on the house. And when we bought the house, nobody had dated it. That was one of the weird things that I had thought. And we've still, you know, that's still up in the air exactly. We're around 1850 at this point. I don't know. The history, it's just, it's still all up in the air. Yeah. I mean, that's really about all I've really got solid evidence. I mean, we've got you know, we've got some spectations and some other things that, you know, we're approaching and looking into as well. It's kind of ironic, you know, and like I said, listeners, you decide, but the gentleman that owned the house probably about 10, 15 years ago or so, he died at the age of 50. And his brother ended up dying not so long later at the same age of 50. So, I mean, coincidence? I don't know. But like I said, the house is just, it's intriguing.
Well, there's another intriguing point about the two gentlemen that passed in the home. One of the gentlemen, to my understanding, is a contractor, which means he spent a lot of time remodeling. Now, you're going back into this home currently and remodeling a lot, to my understanding. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, yes. We have torn out bathrooms, put in new doors, doorways, drywall. We've done all the way down to found some old newspaper that they used to put in, like, the plaster Paris. So definitely a lot of construction going on.
Now, as you're doing this construction sometimes, you've mentioned that you've had experiences. So let's talk about a few of those.
One, you know, is and I don't know if I'd even said anything. I think I've talked to, well, one of the team members, she's aware so far, but just kind of going back, my fiance was moving bathtubs, and they were the cast irons originally. At the time, we were just, you know, engaged. And he broke them up, and when he broke them up, then what's the next step to get them out of the home? Well, you put them in the truck and you haul them off, and I had yelled at him because he was doing it himself, and I told him that he needed to stop. He was going to get cut. And so he felt bad. He asked the neighbor about helping him, and he ended up getting his hand smashed and ended up with stitches and a finger. The neighbor guy, he swears up and down, he didn't let go of it. It was just like something just pushed it, and it just dropped. You know, my fiance, he's a little more logical. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure it hit the truck. I'm pretty sure. I think it did. Myself, personally, I was doing some painting in the stairwell. I'm just here recently again, and I'm a daredevil. I go all the way to the top of the ladder. I'm standing on the very top with my paint roller painting above my head, and the ladder comes off of the 4 feet onto two. And, you know, first intuition is, oh, shnikes. So I take the roller, push it as hard as I can into the ceiling, and I try to balance myself back. But in my mind, and like I said, and logic to me tells me that I should have went backwards down the steps. There's no reason why I did not fall. But it was like corrected itself. It's smooth like butter.
So now plausibly, that's a solution that they may find. A lot of times, listeners, what we run into is we find a historical area or a historical event or a home, especially when you're in a residence, and we start concentrating on the history around that home. For instance, several times in several different states, I've concentrated on residential hauntings that were involved in the Civil War, as an example, just down the road from Civil War areas in Massachusetts and several other areas. Or American Indian areas where great battles happened, and you're thinking that's a part of it. But as you're doing your research, you find some unique connections. For instance, these two people that died in the home. When you start linking those connections together, you find that there might be a little bit of something else there. If somebody did construction his whole life, passed away in a home, and remained to stay in the home, it would be more likely that he would be active when the home gets reconstructed. Things along those lines. As an example, there was a young boy that died in a home, and the home was actually located right near a Civil War area. Now, the lady that just moved in had a lot of activity when me and another investigation team went in there. We had no idea who had died and who hadn't died in the home, but this young boy died of tuberculosis. Now, he played with a toy that was a wooden horse. The wooden horse was found in a closet when they started to do the remodeling. They took the wood horse and they put it up on a counter. We went into the home after doing a bunch of history thinking that it was a Civil War situation or otherwise. They had several other teams that concurred with this before we went in there. And I conducted a pre-interview process with the family. Now, before finding out that the boy was involved in this, I made a joke and I said, "Oh, well, wouldn't it be ironic if you don't have any ghosts in the home, let alone a child?" And here this wooden horse flies right off and right onto the table. And it was not unintentional, by the way. There was no way that wooden horse could have made it that far. Turns out in the long run, when we did our research, the little boy played with that horse until his family passed away and sold the home. Many, many years later, when they purchased the home and found the horse, the boy was still there. Once they figured that out, they learned to live with the boy and, believe it or not, have a room of their own just for the boy now and react with him on a regular basis. So these are things that happen throughout the paranormal. Pierce and myself will actually be joining them this weekend for a paranormal investigation. We'll update you as we go there. It'll be a very exciting thing. Let's tune back into yourself a little bit, Brandy. We've talked about a lot of things throughout the paranormal, but we haven't really talked about what your goals are in starting with a team and working with a documentary. So let's talk about what you perceive that you're going to do and what you'd like to see out of the show and participation with it.
Can you say that again? I got a little cold, so I turned the heater on.
That's all right. Let's talk about...
In the beginning, I'm on the mountain, so I have to actually go outside to get serviced.
No worry. Let's talk about what you perceive as your participation here, not only with the team, but as a documentary when you're growing, and what you'd like to see as the ending result.
Honestly, what I would like to find is if it's something there or a spirit, I don't know, and it could be something demonic, I don't know. I would just like to see, as a team, I would like us to maybe help it.
Well, help is a big part of the paranormal. It really is. Whether you're in it to try to help something move on, or whether you're in it to try to help the families, that's why I think we all get into it eventually.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I've always been that type of person with that compassion to where if there's I can help. But you know, and then the other part of me thinks, okay, well maybe it's something where it doesn't want to be help and it's just caught in that limbo because maybe it'll never find peace. So, I mean, you don't know. As a team, I would just like to continue on finding the facts and kind of just see where it takes us.
What you'll learn and what most investigators will tell you, and as you grow watching these people, guys, you as an audience that is used to watching the average paranormal TV show, when you watch this documentary, and it'll be several pieces just so that everybody's aware, you're going to learn yourself what it means to not only become an investigator, but what the paranormal is really about. This is our way of giving back to the paranormal community, those people that I'd like to thank for teaching me throughout the years, and give a little bit myself to the people that are about to come in, as well as all the people that are participating throughout it that want to do the same thing. What you're going to learn is, in the long run, though we go in to help, and sometimes we do, whether it be people that pass on, whether it be the people in the home, in the long run, the experience becomes more heartwarming in the residential end when you're helping the person. As an example, Lance Eberhardt was on the show several weeks ago. Lance had a very disturbing experience. Several paranormal teams went in there with their gadgets and their doodads and all their other stuff and didn't really care about Lance. It took him many years for an investigator to come in and say, "Look, this is about you. We need to make you comfortable because you're the only person that can stop this from going on." So there's a lot of different aspects that you'll run into throughout your process, and it'll be amazing. You're going to just be astounded by it, and then you're going to grow into your own individual. You're going to find out your abilities. You're going to find out how to learn things. And I'm going to have a lot of challenges for you, just so you're aware.
I look forward to them.
A little bit of background, listeners. As the paranormal team grows, they're actually going to start taking on other things outside of paranormal investigations. So they're going to be wandering around all over Ohio and surrounding areas investigating cryptids and cryptozoology, and they're going to have some people guide them along there. There's some fairly well-known names. They're going to be studying UFOs and interactions with aliens, and they're going to get a chance to meet some very unique individuals. It's going to give them a few pieces of advice along the way. They're actually going to get a chance to go above and beyond the average paranormal investigator and become interviewers themselves. As they're doing this, before they go into an investigation, they're going to get a chance to talk to the professionals. And they're going to be able to interview them and work with them. So it's going to be an interesting journey that I'm excited to actually present to you as one of the people invested in the project and helping set up a wonderful team. You're going to love these guys. They got a lot of intelligence on them. We're going to be adding through the team when we find people that are going to work, from technicians and so forth along the way as well. So it's going to be a very wonderful situation. Brandy's got a wonderful, wonderful video personality. You guys are going to learn this as you start watching.
Oh, Lord, I was a hot mess. I'm telling you what, I'd never been so nervous. And it wasn't that I was, like, I wasn't afraid. It was just, like, I want to be able to do this right. And then as I'm learning and I'm watching everybody's different style, there's no way to mimic. You just get in there with your personality because, I mean, that's what draws. Either you've got something to offer or it's not for you.
Well, that is true. Yeah, just like anything in life and anything in business, either you're meant to do it or you just can't do it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And that was something that I had to learn because I was like, you know, I was like searching. I'm like, I want to do this so bad. And I'm like, what's your style? What's your style? What's your style? And, you know, like I said, I did the watching the actors on the TV shows and I'm just like, wow, this is me. This is what I got, you know. So I'm definitely eager to learn. I've learned so much in just the last couple weeks between the groups and, you know, not just our team in itself. We've got, you know, Rob and just everybody. I'm super excited.
And there's a lot of people that are volunteering in their own little ways just to kind of give you an idea of things, which is why a little bit of background, guys. I posted a bunch of stuff for these guys to review from other investigators to show them the points of view from when they started. And they were all eager to do it. I asked them, hey, look, do you mind if I share some of your stuff and maybe even connect you somewhere along the line to give some advice? And they were like, no, that's great. Show them our early stuff to start with so that way they don't feel silly themselves, because we can assure you we screwed up 1,000 times. So they got a chance to review through a lot of that. I'm sure you probably got a kick out of some of it.
Absolutely.
But it is an interesting journey. So I'm sure that you're eager to, I don't know, just spread your wings and talk about a few things. We've asked you a lot of questions, but what do you want to ask us?
Oh, wow. We don't have enough time for that, Chris. I can't tell you how many times just, you know, our meetings, you know, that have ran hours over because I'm like, no, tell me more, you know, what else you got? You know, I just... Oh, wow. I don't know. I mean, and, you know, I've thought about this, but it's something that I guess my biggest question that right now that I guess it's more of a struggle personally with is, how did you guys, and I guess you yourself, find that step to be like, this is what I'm a part of? You know, and like I said, that's the only struggle. And we kind of touched that earlier when we were talking about, you know, experiences and people looking at you like, oh, my God, you're a whack job. But I guess it's just finding that piece of this is who I am, you know. And like I said, that's the only piece right now that I think that I struggle with. Everything else, I'm slowly finding my personality, you know, where I fit in, but it's that, hey, you know, I may have an ability that I've kind of shunned. You know, how do you find that piece?
For me, my personal journey, to me, it was a calling. I know that sounds crazy, but to me, it was a calling. It was just, I fit here. Trying to figure out how I fit became a little bit more complicated. At first, I didn't want to talk about my experience at all because it sounded insane. Same. And people would look at you funny.
Same.
So I began to ask questions and listen. You know, just talk about little local things that you saw on television. Hey, did you see that ghost story the other day? And then wait for people when, as silly as this seems, I waited until we were in calm environments. So a lot of times you'd wait until you were in a discussion when people were half drunk or or so forth, because they'd loosen up a little bit more. As I started to grow, I started to collect a bunch of stories and files because I started to do my own research. And then I started to realize, you know, it's kind of unique that 90% of the people I'm speaking to have had some sort of paranormal experience, whether it be a sighting of Bigfoot, whether it be a ghost, whether it be they felt they talked to a demon, whether it be they felt they saw a UFO or something else. Somebody always had a story, and they always believed that story. So I wasn't alone. That gave me a lot of comfort to realize I wasn't alone. So I started to open up to more people and tell them my experience. Now, my local friends had known it for years. Some of them thought I was nuts, but most of them related to it and said, hey, you're not alone. We know something is here in your house. But to feel that other people around me were starting to say, oh, no, I've had this experience. Oh, no, I've had this experience. Oh, no, I've had this experience, really opened up things to me. So then I wanted to dig further. The next step was to try to figure out how to dig further. And then, ironically, Ghost Hunters came on. So it was like, well, that's kind of cool. I need to figure out how to do this. I tried to do it on my own. Didn't work out very well because I was very clumsy at it. So I began to tag along with teams. Got invited along with several teams, and then eventually became a part of several teams myself. My personal adventure brought me to a very Catholic-oriented team at the time, and we looked at the more darker aspects of things and got approved by the Catholic Church, went into studying demonology for a short period in time and realized it's not what people think. It's just a lot of reading. And then I advanced to the point to where I was comfortable with starting to talk to people. Once I was comfortable with starting to talk to people, I wanted to teach other people. Of course, obviously the best way to do that is to step back and not call myself an investigator anymore, but to tell every investigator's story. Because
that's a good
investigators
way to look at it.
Well, and they're wonderful. Once I opened up and started asking things, I had a lot of investigators teach me. And believe me, it was a learning road from an EVP that was a bird to a picture that turned out to be a smudge on a wall. So it's not anything we don't all go through. And then from there, it just kind of advanced. And really, honestly, I built my own style, my own reality of teaching people and my own advancement off of each step of the way. Learning that this is my calling. This is who I am. This is what I do.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And you've been doing this how long, you said?
23 years now.
23 years. Wow. And I'm like 2 months in. Lord.
23 years and a total of 30 years if you count the paranormal experiences before I was willing to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, we can relate to those. Definitely.
So what you'll learn when you're growing and what the listeners should actually take in if they ever decide to do this is as you grow, the first thing you do is you're scared. You don't want to come out, as you're saying. But once you get past that, you realize, it's not so bad. People are not going to look at me like idiots. And then you start learning, you know, it's great to take in all of this and ask all these questions, but I just got to kind of feel how I want to do it myself.
And, you know, that was my biggest struggle because I'm like, oh, tell me how you want me to do it, or hey, show me what you got. And then, I mean, you can be told and you can read and, you know, everybody can give you some point of a direction. But once you walk in there and you sit down, I mean, it's freestyle. That's the only way to describe it. It's your personality.
Well, and as a teacher, a real teacher of the paranormal, as you're learning from me sitting back sometimes, my point, I can point out what you've already done and guide you. But the big thing is making sure that we actually let you learn on your own, and then we can come back and match what we found and say, hey, good job, not so good job, things along those lines. And then you learn a little bit more to advance yourself. So that's kind of the key. Well, listeners, you've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality here on BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest radio stations digital-wise in the United States. So if you're ever looking for a digital radio station, make sure you go with the best. Go with BBS. What is on next week's show? Matt Benton from Man vs. Paranormal, about to release his paranormal documentary and his paranormal TV show on YouTube, DVD, and elsewhere, is going to join us to talk about his journey. Make sure that you tune in there. We're going to close out the show with thanking Brandy for coming on, and also we're going to discuss something simple, which I close with every week. As you're learning in the paranormal is a journey from beginning to end, from every person you meet and every situation you run into. You're going to find a lot of things. You're going to learn a lot of things. But the most important thing is to understand in that growth, paranormal should always be the truth and reality around you. So don't get lost in the myth. Don't get lost in the legend. Just do what you do best. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you next week.